Executive Announcement Conference Call. I will now turn the program over to Bill Miller, Vice President of Product Management and Marketing for Digium. You may begin, sir.
Thank you very much, Colin. Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to thank you all for taking time to join us today for this exciting announcement with Digium. I'm going to be brief and basically turn you over to our founder and now chairman, Mark Spencer.
Hey, guys. Thanks again for joining the call. Today is one of the most exciting days in the entire history of this company. For the last several months, we've been looking at a few key positions in the company to try to fill, and the two big ones were trying to find a COO and a vice president of business development. And while we were doing those searches, we had an incredible pair of opportunities that independently came to us to be able to really upgrade those positions into something even more exciting. What happened is that Danny Windham, who has been a board member of Digium since 2000 and has actually been involved with the company since longer than any other employee here at the company has been, was able to come on and be the CEO of the company and allow me to be able to focus on the community and the customers and the technology of the company in a much more focused way. Independently, we've got Steve Harvey, who will be coming to join us as the VP of Worldwide Sales to be able to help us increase our sales both in terms of channel and direct sales worldwide. And together, these are certainly an incredible opportunity for us to be able to bring on. When you start a company and it's just one person, obviously you have to do everything yourself. And that is kind of the history of how Asterisk got started, really, because I needed my own phone system and they were simply too expensive to go out there and buy one. But as you grow, you have to start delegating things out. And the easiest thing to delegate out in the beginning is to delegate away the things that you're bad at and that you don't enjoy doing. Then you have to go and delegate out the things that you're good at but you don't enjoy doing. Then you have to delegate away the things that you are enjoy doing but are still bad at. And then lastly, and the most difficult part, is being able to delegate away the things that are very enjoyable to you and that you have some propensity for being able to do well. And Digium has reached the size that that was a decision that I had to make. And while hopefully I've done a fairly reasonable job getting the company to this level, I felt that the part that is most interesting to me and the part that is where I can bring the most value to the community, to the employees, and to the customers was in focusing on the technology and the strategic vision for the company in the long run. And when I had the opportunity to bring on someone who has an incredible operational background with whom I have a relationship of trust for the past 7 years, it was simply a very easy decision to make this transition happen. And so I'll go ahead and introduce to you now Danny Windham.
Thanks, Mark. I am very excited to be here. I am coming to Digium currently today, and for the next 2 weeks, I am Chief Operating Officer and President of Adtran, a company that I have been with for the last 20 years. But as Mark mentioned, for the last 7 years, I have served as a board member, and over that time period, I've gotten to know Digium, the company, and I've gotten to know Mark Spitzer, and I'm very comfortable with Mark and the future opportunities that exist here at Digium. Personally, I have an engineering background, which I think helps qualify for anyone who could come in to Digium and help put an operating process in place. And personally, I have a history in small companies, and personally, if people come in small company versus big company packages, I would consider myself a small company person. I started a company in 1986 that ultimately was acquired by Adtran in 1989, and ironically, the size of the combined companies at the time of the acquisition in 1989 is exactly the size Digium is today. And so through that process and then over the next 6 years, we grew Adtran to the spot where we took the company public in 1994, and I was part of the team that helped to take Adtran public. In terms of my participation here at Digium, I recognize what the opportunity is for Asterisk and this disruption that the open source model and the opportunity that exists for an open source IP telephony product has in the marketplace. And I see that as a very exciting and probably a very challenging opportunity. But I do believe that I will be able to add some value to what's going on at Digium today. I have also worked for the past 11 years with Steve Hardy, who is coming here as from a position at Adtran where he was Vice President of Enterprise Network Sales and also Competitive Service Provider Sales. I know Steve to be a tireless sales individual that is very competent and very capable both in helping direct channel growth and channel sales as well as going after the big game in the business development arena. So with that, I think what we'd like to do is maybe open it up for questions and answers. And Bill, is it back to you?
It is, I guess. Colin, we'll open the floor up now for questions, please.
Very well, sir. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have an audio question, simply press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, star one to ask a question. And give us just a few moments to get these questions queued up. And the questions are still queuing up. One moment.
I think it was... So...
Thank you for your patience. We'll take our first question from the side of Kali Henderson. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I think my question might be for Steve Harvey. In the press release that we have today, it says that he's going to be directing Digium's expanding channel strategy, and I was wondering if you could briefly describe what your channel strategy is now and what changes you expect to make.
Well, Steve Harvey is not on the call today, so Danny, I'm Danny, I will take that. And,
okay, thank you.
The mission is really to position Asterisk to be able to address the needs of the business community. Specifically, the channel development efforts that are underway are to try to build a channel to reach the small and medium-sized business networks, so attracting resellers and distributors that are positioned to sell into that segment of the market, in fact, attracting value-added resellers, service providers that actually provide solutions to that segment of the market will be his primary mission in that development.
Mm-hmm. So does the channel already exist? I'm not very familiar with Asterisk's model.
Do you want to answer that? Yeah, I would say that the this is Mark. Today, the channel that we have is largely built up to be able to address people who already are somewhat familiar with Linux and Asterisk. And what we are doing is expanding what we're doing with Asterisk in terms of bringing the technology from the very highly technical early adopters across to a market that is served by people and that is purchased from by people who are not as familiar about Linux or Asterisk, nor do they especially want to be. And making that transition is a big part of what we're doing. I still think there will be a tremendous amount of room for channel to be able to add value and innovate upon the structure that we have today, but we're taking this to where we can reach out to a much broader base of resellers and a much broader base of customers with the product.
Is there something specific that you're doing to the product to make it less techie?
We should have an announcement in the next couple of weeks to really be able to announce to address that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very well. We'll take our next question from the side of Ed Govins from Telephony. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, just a couple of questions. Had the two companies worked in partnership in any way before this? What's his AdTrans equity stake in Digium, and was that made in connection with the board seat?
The partnership between AdTran and Digium has existed for the past 7 years. In fact, AdTran was a funding founder of or a funding partner to help Mark be able to start the company, and in exchange for that original funding, received a seat on board of directors. I have occupied that seat for the last 7 years, and the companies have had a very close partnership, with AdTran being in a position to assist Digium in its growth along the way, and today there is a healthy relationship in place between both companies. With regard to the ownership, AdTran's stake in Digium today would be considered a significant but minority ownership position.
And so can you just describe a little bit more of the partnership? Does AdTran resell Asterisk, or what's the nature of the partnership?
Yeah, I think today the best way to describe the partnership is that AdTran has been sort of a big brother in helping the growth of Digium along the way by providing selected services or expertise along the way, but AdTran does not today resell any of the Digium products.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes to us from the side of Tim Green from Network World. Go ahead, please.
Good. Danny, you mentioned earlier that you recognize the opportunity for Asterisk. Can you detail what you mean by that?
Yeah, and by the way, hi, Tim.
Hi.
I think that Asterisk, Digium has what so many companies spend their entire lives trying to get, which is brand awareness for the product that they've produced and awareness for the company itself. And within Digium, that awareness is worldwide, and I think the IP telephony market worldwide is a gigantic market opportunity, and understanding how you position an open source IP telephony product offering to capture a portion of that marketplace is the challenge that Digium has at hand, but they already have the brand awareness and the recognition that many companies covet.
Not to mention the fact that we already have profitability and growth behind us to help kind of catapult us there. So it's not like we're just completely going into this blind. There are certainly transitions that I think we're going to have to make to be able to cross the chasm and to really reach the early majority. But I think fundamentally we have the right groundwork, hopefully I've given Danny a great jumping off point to start growing all that.
I just follow up. What's the first thing you're going to do to help realize this potential?
Just getting my feet on the ground here, I'm still trying to assess what is the first right thing and the right series of things to do. So I'm not sure I'm prepared to answer that question. The fundamental concept is taking the Asterisk product across the chasm. So I'm sure you've read the book Crossing the Chasm. Asterisk today has been adopted by early adopters and those who are on the bleeding edge of technology. And we would like to see Asterisk cross that chasm and position Digium to enable Asterisk to cross the chasm so that the mass market and can adopt the product and then use it successfully.
Will this take the form mainly of partnerships, or will there be or in-house development?
I think you'll see some of all of the above. It will be a combination of Digium being a company that will enable everything Asterisk in the marketplace.
One of the, if you look at the role that we've had historically in open source, what we've done is not only to create a great deal of Asterisk, but to act as facilitators for people who want to contribute to Asterisk to be able to have their changes go in, to be reviewed,
to be improved upon and in the end integrated. I think that what you'll see is that our role as a company is very similar for the ecosystem in that we obviously believe in trying to build a system in which many people are able to build sustainable businesses with Asterisk, and we will play a role in facilitating that, a very central role, not only in creating products, but in facilitating and promoting other people who also want to create products that make the whole ecosystem better.
Okay, thanks.
No problem.
We'll now move on to the side of Tom Keating from TMC. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Tom Keating here at Telephony Magazine. It was mentioned that Danny has a long-standing relationship with Atran. Are you, Danny, retaining any employee relationship with Atran, whether it's just a board member, et cetera, or is this a 100% full-time Digian position?
No, I have resigned my position as COO and president, and I am resigning my Atran board seat as well, and will be 100% dedicated to the growth of the Digium.
Okay.
We'll now move on to the side of Gina Hanna from the Huntsville Times. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Gina.
Just wondering, looking at the current climate, where do you see Digium, say 5 to 10 years from now, and I'm thinking about the AT&T Bell South merger and sort of the shift with those companies.
Well, it's fun to even think about Digium's future when the backdrop is the AT&T Bell South merger, but the mission of Digium in the 5 to 10 year time frame is that we're out to build a company that will be successful and sustainable. And so the mission is to do all the right things for long-term growth, invest in areas that will provide long-term return, and build a company that can be a standalone entity for a very long time.
Thank you.
I would absolutely agree with that. So I wouldn't be expecting Asterisk TNT any
more.
Thank you, guys.
We'll now move on to the side of Steve Burke from CRN. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Danny, can you talk a little bit about the profit margin opportunity here for whether it's the channel and just the business overall when you stack it up against the traditional PBX companies, the straight-out profit margin and business opportunity for channel partners and the company itself?
I'll start this and then we'll let Mark chime in because he's got more experience in this than I do, and I'll get to say things that because I haven't been here very long may or may not make sense. The entire open source challenge is to construct a business model that can provide for long-term sustainable and successful and profitable growth. Digium has been very successful in doing that so far, and I would anticipate that the techniques Digium has used to get the company here today will only be expanded going forward, and new sources of income and revenue can be found. And there certainly are very successful companies out there who are based on open source models that today carry exceptionally high valuation premiums in the marketplace. Digium's challenge is to ensure that you can put a channel program together that will give resellers the incentive to want to resell those products, and part of that incentive certainly involves them being able to make money and be profitable in that process also. So all of those things are being factored in, and I believe the open source model certainly has a lot more flexibility in how you accomplish that than the traditional PBX supplier would have in their go-to-market strategies.
And I would just sort of expand that by saying that a lot of people think of open source just as a way to reduce the cost of the creation of software or to expand it. But it's not just about the engineering side. It's also about the customer acquisition side. And I also believe it's about the competitive side. So when I talk about the customer acquisition piece, what I mean is that, we have customers that use Asterisk, let's say, for example, BT, British Telecom, who we would have no way of just sort of picking up the phone and calling them up and saying, hey, have we got a system for you? But because they're able to download the software off the Internet and get it running in their own labs and then sort of call us up and say, hey, here's what we're doing, it represents a very significant savings to us, and it represents an opportunity to be able to leverage that customer acquisition to be able to benefit other resellers and even people who create all kinds of other products. So that is kind of a unique opportunity that exists for us. The other thing is that, again, because it's open source, there are a lot of people who are able to use the technology to create services which can be either complementary or competitive with the same kinds of things that we're doing. What that means is it means that we as a company always have to remain extremely competitive on the edge because, you know, there's always the risk that, someone else can come in. And what that means for distributors and resellers is that they can have a great deal of confidence in our ability to meet their needs because we'll have to be able to retain their business. It's sort of a kind of extreme capitalism, if you will.
Thank you.
Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have an audio question, simply press the star and one. We'll now go to the site of Craig Masumoto from Light Reading. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Hey, guys. Just curious, what kind of future do you see for Digium in telecom networks outside of small, medium business, but actually inside the network of someone like a Bell South?
Okay. Was that directed to me or Danny or whoever?
Whoever wants to say something.
Okay. Well, as a project, one of Asterisk's most incredible strengths is its ability to kind of be everything for everyone. That is to say that Asterisk provides PBX functionality, IVR, conferencing, internet integration, voice over IP gatewaying. The list is almost endless. And there are people who use the Asterisk technology to create systems that work for small business or for enterprise or for hotels or for carriers. As a company, however, you have to have some level of focus if you're going to be able to have success, especially when you're a smaller company like Digium is. So from the technological perspective, I would say that Asterisk is already very widely in use in carriers and in enterprises. Obviously in St. Houston State, there was an excellent example of how Asterisk was able to displace a call manager in a rather dramatic way. And I think we're going to see a lot of that growth, and there will be plenty of room for Digium to be able to expand its presence in the long run, either directly or through partnerships with other companies. But in the short run, we want to try to focus on capturing some specific segments of the market first, and then expanding that base.
Okay, great. And what would those segments be?
Small, medium business and small, medium enterprise, where I would define those as probably, I don't know, maybe 250 or 500 users and under, and the difference between SMB and SME being a single location or multi-location in my mind.
Okay, thanks.
It appears we have one final question from the side of Carla Schroeder.
I have a question about community contributions to the Asterisk code base. I noticed on your site, if I remember this right, that contributors have to assign their copyright to Digium. So when we're talking about incentives and building a community, I was just kind of wondering about the rationale for that. Now, because in contrast, the Linux kernel, all the contributors retain their own copyrights, and that seems to work pretty well.
Well, let me first of all make a correction there. We do not actually ask for copyright assignment. What we ask for is a disclaimer or a license agreement, which allows us to be able to reuse those contributions in any way and provide some level of documentation from the submitter that they are in fact the author or have the rights to be able to allow us to redistribute those changes. You guys are probably well aware of the SCO versus IBM thing that is going on right now, in which SCO is claiming that there is a ownership of the Linux kernel within stuff that they had developed. And this policy not only gives us the flexibility that we need in terms of licensing the code and being able to make exceptions for other proprietary or open source projects, for example, on the proprietary side, G729 and Lumenbox, and on the open source side, things like OpenHP23. But it also means that we can document that we have done some level of due diligence to try to prevent unauthorized code from getting into the system. So if you wanted to know about other examples of that, obviously the most significant one would be the Free Software Foundation, which actually does require copyright assignment, not just the license agreement that we do, in order for those changes to go in. That does not take away anyone's rights under the GPL to be able to make derivative works. But by doing that, we can assure a certain level of quality and confidence about the origin of the code that is in Asterisk.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. I was party to a bit of grumbling about it, and I think they were wrong.
Yes. Well, one of the things that is often the case is that people who grumble about this issue oftentimes have their own proprietary products that they would like to be able to use Asterisk outside of the GPL without having to pay a licensing fee for it. And an easy test for that is to ask them how they feel about projects like the GNU C library, which are under the less restrictive LGPL, which does allow commercial derivative works under certain circumstances. And if they don't have the same complaints about those libraries, then I would probably question why a model in which you have to pay for the ability to commercially link is somehow worse for the community than a model in which you do not have to pay for that linkage.
That is a good example.
Well, thank you for your question, though.
And it now looks like we have a follow-up question for the side of Craig Matsumoto. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how many people work at Digium?
There are a little over 80 people, somewhere between 80 and 90. I'd have to add it all up right now.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting to be in the position that I can't tell you an exact number. I remember when that used to be a small one-digit number, but I could tell you without even having to think about it.
Yeah, and those are the type of statistics I hope will flow right off the top of my head.
Excellent. Well, see, that's when you need the new CEO, right, when you meet that. Okay, thanks, Ted.
Okay, and I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time this afternoon, and we look forward to talking to you all again soon.
All right, thank you very much.
Good day.